And I'm going to share with you from Luke chapter 11. In Luke 11, verse 17, we read these words. Start at verse 14. Now, casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons." Whilst others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan is also divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, and the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he is trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Let me use that, which was the main text for my message this morning, give you a quick overview of it, but springboard into the thing that I felt the Lord in the middle of the service direct me to. In this passage in Luke 11, we are introduced to a concept of division. In it, Jesus says, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. This passage about division has the word demons in it seven times. This passage about division has the name Beelzebub mentioned three times. This passage about division has the word of Satan mentioned in it, and the word divided four times. The enemy is out to divide. God is out to multiply. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. The Lord is out to bless, give, increase, and provide life. In this passage about division, God says something really interesting. Right, Jesus says something really interesting when he's talking about division. Let me put it up here, division. At the end of this teaching on division and the activity of demonic powers, Beelzebub, Satan, and in the context of division, he says at the end of this passage these words: "Whoever is not for me is against me," verse 23, "and whatever he does, and whoever does not gather scatters." And in this context of division is two ideas: gathering and scattering. The enemy's strategy is to scatter. God's strategy is to gather. The enemy's strategy is to divide. God's strategy is to unite and gather. Gathering and multiplication is the dream of God, is the will of God. Scattering and division is the strategy of the enemy. The word church in the Greek is ecclesia. What does it mean? What does ecclesia mean? It does mean something. Does anybody know what ecclesia means? Yes. It is all about gathering, correct. When you and I meet our individuals, that's great, and we have an individual faith and we're part of the body of Christ. But ecclesia is talking about the believers who are gathered. It is important that we gather. It is the kingdom of God that we gather. I can have a relationship with God outside of church. But if I am part of the church, I need to fellowship with the church. Ecclesia is all about the set apart, gathered ones, which is part of God's dream. It's all about multiplication. It's all about kingdom increase. And whenever we say yes to God's dream about being gathered and part of a body, where, you know, he says, he who, let me read it to you, he who is not for me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. In other words, those who are against him scatters, and those who are for him gather. In Hebrews 10:24, the author of Hebrews says, do not neglect to meet together as is the habit of some, but all the more as you see that day drawing near. It's important we gather. We cannot flourish and grow. We cannot know the kingdom of God in us individually and collectively. We ignore gathering. You know, stories told of, I heard of a great pianist who plays at concert halls and people just love him. And he practices constantly, you know, all the time, every day. Not constantly, but, you know, hours every day. And he said, you know, I miss out some practice a day, I can pick it up. But others won't. But, you know, if I've missed a number of days, people will pick it up. And when we miss, you know, sometimes we miss fellowship, you know, we're unwell, we're on holiday, all that's fine. But you go too long without gathering, and it shows. People pick it up. We start getting that little irritable stuff that brings on division, and it gets in the way. So anyway, I wanted to camp out a little bit more on the division part, and I wanted to ask you this question. What are you doing together? And whenever you're tempted to scatter, whenever you're tempted yourself to pull away, understand that's not what God has for you. You probably need to deliberately find yourself in fellowship so that you can be strengthened. But also, if you're scattering, what's going on in your life that's in the realm of division? You better believe it, that you have been influenced by an evil power that is out to rob you of your joy and freedom and growth as a Christian. In this passage of division, as I mentioned before, 7 times the word demons are used, 3 times Beelzebub, and 1 Satan. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times in this passage, demonic activity is referred to. So don't let the devil rip you off. He who is not for me is against me, says God, says Jesus. Gather. Focus on gathering. I believe with our heart to gather more children for Jesus Christ, this is right in the heart of what God wants. When we gather in small groups, this is a very good thing for us. In fact, the heart of the epistles is the dynamic Christian life that's enjoyed only in small group. We can enjoy sermons and preaching and all that sort of stuff, but nothing beats interpersonal relationships in the context of small groups as we grow and flourish. So if you're not part of a small group yet, Invite people over to your place for a meal. Invite them over for a cup of tea. Encourage one another. It doesn't have to be an official small group. You can have fellowship together and encourage one another, and all the more as we see that day drawing near. But if you want to explore being part of an official small group, talk to us about it. Let's make a way. But God wants us to be for him and to be involved in gathering. Having said that, I want to talk about one of the ways that Satan works in the church to divide. In the spiritual warfare book in the New Testament, does anybody know what that book might be? There's a book really dedicated to spiritual warfare. Pardon? Ephesians, correct. And in the spiritual warfare book, the Bible is like a library. We've got a Christian library here, and so if you want to go in biographies or want to look into history or poetry or prophetic, go to different parts of the library and you'll find appropriate books for that. And the Bible has different books there to provided for different purposes. And the book of Ephesians is a spiritual warfare book because it's all about the work of Satan coming against the church to bring division. And the importance of the church to maintain the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. And then near the end, it talks about putting on the full armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the enemy. It is a spiritual warfare book. So if you find that you're starting to get a little bit of nitpicky about someone else, about other brothers and sisters, you need to put on the armor of God. You've been influenced by demonic forces, by destructive thoughts that are out to bring division and separation in your life. My friend Ray Comfort reminded me that he who grows alone grows queer. Now, that was when queer meant something different. But it meant you grow strange. And the more we dislocate ourselves away from other Christians, the more strange we become, the more less like Christ we become. You see, we're forced to deal with stuff when we maintain community living. It's hard to hide in our dysfunctions when we're living with others. Ultimately, we become aware of these things, either self-aware or someone says something. We don't like those moments, do we? But it's part of community. But let me focus on one spirit that is busy at work trying to bring division in the body of Christ. Now, there are a number I could focus on, but I just want to refer only to one this morning. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings 19. I'm pleased. Are we recording? Has this been recorded now? Yes. I'm pleased this has been recorded because this will go onto our website. And I want this to be on website so that everyone is fully aware of what I'm saying today. 1 Kings 19. This one. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them, that means one of the dead prophets, by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. Great Elijah was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. And he was there for a while. And then God says, "Now I want you to go back to..." God spoke to him there in the cave and gave some prophetic words. And then it was time for him to go back to Yes, that's right. Verse 30. Oh, no such thing as verse 30. Second Kings, sorry. Go now to Second Kings. And while you do, I just make a statement. Jezebel comes back on the picture again. She is involved in the murder of Naboth so that her husband can have a nice grapevine. Yes, she's a pretty full-on woman. In 2 Kings chapter 9, in 2 Kings chapter 9, we read these words. Verse 22. And when Joram saw Jehu, said, Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, What peace can there be? So long as the whorings and the sorcerers of your mother, Jezebel, are so many. The whorings, sexual activity, and the sorcery, witchcraft. Then Joram reigned about and fled, saying to Ahaziah, Treachery! And he died. And then in verse 30, when Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes, adorned her head and looked out the window. And as Jehu entered the gate, he said, Is it peace from Zimri, murderer of your masters? He lifted up his face to the window and said, Who is on my side? Who? Two or three eunuchs looked out at him. And he said, Throw her down. So they threw her down. Some of her blood splattered on the wall and the horses, and they trampled on her. Pretty sort of graphic picture. Then he went in and ate, and he said, See now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. But when they went to bury her, they found no more of her than her skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. That's because the dogs had eaten her, which is a fulfillment of prophetic word. So this word, this woman, Jezebel, represents an attitude, a spirit, that manifests itself sometimes in churches. That women and men can manifest. And I just want to explain it to you very quickly. What does Jezebel look like? First of all, Jezebel positions himself or herself in a place of influence, an opportunity to speak and be heard. It's really important, everybody, that you be careful what you listen to. Just because something comes from someone who is in a place of influence doesn't make it right. You need to go to God in prayer and to the Word and make sure that it is so. So Jezebel is an influencer, number one. Number two, Jezebel is into intimidation. Jezebel would seek to intimidate, as she did the prophet. And the great prophet, who'd seen an incredible victory, ran for his life because of what she said. She intimidates, he intimidates by what is said. Jezebel impacts leadership. They attack, the spirit of Jezebel attacks leadership. Strike the sheep and what? Strike the shepherd and what? The sheep scatter. Scattering. As part of the enemy's strategy. Whenever one is tempted to run, you can be sure some evil spirit has been at work. Bible commands us maintain the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. Yes, let me tell you straight up. We're all a bit of a strange bunch. We're little idiosyncrasies and funny things about us all, and we'll offend one another, and I will offend you because human beings, but there is no excuse to go running and scattering. It's just an excuse to grow up and to work through issues when they arrive. Um, She, Jezebel, intimidates through fear. And she uses doubt. Fear and doubt. You can check that out in 1 Kings 19:4. She's manipulative. You can check that in chapter 21, verse 8. She will work, the spirit of Jezebel will work to manipulate circumstances and situations and get people thinking, I never said that. Well, you're misquoting me or misrepresenting me. Or well, that's not what was said. Satan is the deceiver. You know, deception is not when something is obviously wrong. We can pick that up quickly. Deception is when something appears right, but it is off. And we need to be very, very careful. The Bible says, don't be deceived. And need to be very careful about those things that, and some people have valid things to say. Yes, it's true, but then they extreme it. They take it to an angle which leads to scattering and division, and that's a work of the enemy. She is in chapter 21, verse 15. We realize that she's murderous. She just wants to see things killed off. She'd want to see a ministry die. Want to see a church close, want to see someone's passion come to an end, is just out to destroy. This is Jezebelic spirit. If you find things manipulating around you and seeking to destroy you, this might just well be a Jezebelic assignment against you. As I said, it doesn't necessarily be a woman. It's women and men who find themselves in this predicament. Idolatrous. Jezebel was behind an idol worship and tried to lead the whole nation in that idolatry. In other words, she was out to get people worshiping other things than the one true God. The way this has played out in many churches is where some things are put to such an extreme and imbalance that it takes the focus of God onto some form of religious practice or whatever. It's a form of idolatry. We worship an environment, a practice, a discipline or whatever, rather than the Lord. And this can be something you need to watch out for. Witchcraft. A Jezebelic spirit is tapping into supernatural resources. You're involved in someone with a Jezebelic spirit, they have an unusual capacity to move and shift things. You go, how come they're so successful at doing that? They're backed up by demonic power out to scatter. She makes her face up according to 2 Kings 9:30. Notice that picture, she puts her makeup on as she... Now this is not about the evils of putting on makeup. This is about putting on a face. Pretending to be something you are not. Camouflaging the real intent of the heart. Here, she was facing an enemy. What does she go and do? She puts on a face. Come on. Sometimes you have connected with people and you realize there's duplicity going on. They are one thing with one person and one thing with another person, and they may well be a Jezebel putting on a face. Sometimes, you know, some of you ladies, you're really good at this discernment. So someone's talking and you go, oh, there's something not right there. You got that sort of, Lynette's really good at that. She talks to me, oh, that person. That individual, sometimes she can nail what the story is. How does she do that? I don't know how she does that. Sort of a discerning thing, and a lot of you ladies are naturally inclined that way. Trust that gut. If something, you know, there's a phrase in church leadership that says, when something smells funky, engage. When something seems wrong, don't just sort of cruise, Start engaging. Start praying. Start asking God, why do I feel that this is not quite right? What's going on here? Start searching. Start inquiring. Start asking questions. And whilst maintaining your walk with the Lord. And the last point, chapter 9 to 30, Jezebel is looking down upon leadership from her ivory tower. And whenever you find someone who just looks down upon those speaks down to those that God's position in leadership, looks down upon other people and influence and leadership, then something going wrong. Leaders need to be very careful not to look down upon the people that they're ministering. You know, this is a warning. Now, Jezebel is not only referred to in the Old Testament, but is referred to in the New Testament. And as I finish off this morning, I want to read to you that reference. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. I hope this is all making sense, because I didn't plan to spring off into Jezebel. But there's a reason why, obviously, not only was Jezebel mentioned by Katrina earlier on the service, but I've actually had a couple of people approach me in the last wee while and have warned me about Jezebel's influence. And in the context of my message on division, and then in the context of that dream, I felt the Lord say, now you need to sort of come back and speak on this. So let me just read to you this passage in Revelation chapter 2. And we read, speaking in verse 18 to the church, the angel of the church in Thyatira writes, the words of the Son of God, who has the eyes like flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter work exceed the first. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. In other words, she's endorsing and encouraging sexual immorality and a form of idolatry. He says, I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto her sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, and I will strike their children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. To the church in Thyatira, God was saying, you're fantastic, you're doing a great work, you're serving here, there, but this is what I have against you. You've let Jezebel grab the hearts of some of your people and embrace a life of immorality and idolatry. And I've spoken to her and told her to repent. And because of that, she's in a sick bed. She'll end up in a sick bed. But the children who follow her influence, it'll be worse for them. Now, I made it a point that I would never let Jezebel have her way in any church I was pastoring. And that was after a painful experience. This is since I've been here. It was after a painful experience. I've been in a church where Jezebel did have her way. And the end result was division, which is a strategy of the enemy. So let me finish with the story. I was visiting a pastor from Palmerston North. Visited in his home, and over lunch, he pulled out a little bread and a little cup, and we had communion together. He was booking in a time for us to go and speak to his church, and he said, you know, I've made it my goal, my job, to make sure no evil influence comes in to bring division in my church. And I will resist that. He said it with such force and authority, I was scared. And I thought, can't play around with that guy as a good leader. I will resist anyone who seeks to bring division in this church, who speaks negatively, who seeks to manipulate and cause a friction in this church. I will not let this church be a Thyatira, giving room for a Jezebelic spirit to bring division. Now, I mean it. If I hear people speaking negatively about others, I'm going to have a talk with them about it. Ask them, call them, to apologize and get it right, to stop, cease and desist. And because he who scatters, who's not for me, is against me. And he who does not gather scatters. So I'm asking you this. Be on guard against Jezebel. Particularly in two ways Jezebel will manifest. Loose morals. And worshipping other things rather than God. A form of idolatry. Sexual immorality. And idolatry. And influencing and giving permission for others to do the same. And I say straight up, God wants us to be pure. Flee from sexual immorality. Get right with God concerning your sex life. And two, make sure you're in love with God. And turn from anything that would call your affection for Christ. That's idolatry. When we pursue other things rather than God. And if you'll do that, then you'll protect your heart from being attacked by Jezebel. Now, for those listening to this presentation, I ask you to check your heart. Make sure you're not a channel for Jezebel. Repent. God's calling you to repent. Otherwise, you may just find yourself on your sickbed, facing the judgment of God. Now, having said that, I just want to make a proviso. I don't think anyone who's sick is facing the judgment of God. Get me right on that, okay? But in this incident, God in Corinthians talks about some people that were so guilty of sin that when they took communion, they ate and drank judgment upon themselves. And they became sick and some even died. So make sure that you're right with God. Praise God. Well, what an intense word to give, everybody. I don't like, you know, that's pretty intense. But I hope that, you know, you go away with a sense of, yes, let's gather. Let's build God's kingdom. And I'll protect my heart. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Father, we ask that you would forgive us, Lord, if we have given our ear to Jezebel. Lord, forgive us. Please, we're sorry. If we've given our heart to Jezebel, if we have embraced a form of idolatry or adultery, spiritual loose morals, Father, we are sorry, Lord, and we claim that you can forgive us if we will repent. We thank you for the beauty of repentance. And Lord, we turn our hearts afresh to you. And we ask, Lord, please forgive us. Please cleanse us. And help us to be those who gather and those who see your church flourish. Father, we come against every strategy of division. We come against every Jezebelic influence. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to be doing in coming days in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. Now, we're going to put some worship music on. But if you are needing prayer for